The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What? All right, let's get into these conference championship games. We've got two games tomorrow night. UNLV, Boise. They're in Boise.
That's an interesting game.
It is an interesting game.
I'm kind of excited for that.
Because the winner goes to the tournament.
Winner goes to the tournament. And more importantly, I mean, if Boise wins, it sure feels like that they get the bye.
Yep.
It doesn't feel like Arizona State's going to, or anyone else, Iowa State's going to jump them. Now, if UNLV wins, then the winner of the Big 12 would get the bye. So there's a couple.
Except that you didn't hear the Mountain West commissioner today who came out and said the winner of this game should get a bye.
Yeah, eat it. Stop it. I don't think it bothers me enough that Boise State's getting a bye. And this game, by the way, I mean, it was a 5-point game. And that was at UNLV the first time they played. And let's be honest, I don't know if you've watched a little bit, but Boise State ain't exactly playing their best ball.
No, and I've seen UNLV. They beat Kansas, and this quarterback's pretty good.
Yeah.
And remember, UNLV had a weird year because their quarterback quit.
Quit.
And this guy's come in, and they haven't skipped a beat. And the other thing about this game is UNLV, believe it or not, held Ashton Gentry to his worst yards per carry of the season.
And he's nicked up. He is not the same player that he was. He's been battling some injuries. And you look at UNLV's losses. Turns out Syracuse, by the way, is a pretty good team that won 9 games. That was a 44-41 loss to Syracuse. And then Boise clipped him by 5. So I don't know what the spread on this game, but this kind of feels like
four.
This kind of feels like a coin flip game to me.
Yeah, it should be good. It's on the blue turf.
Yeah.
So
this is the only of the conference championship games that's actually being played at a home stadium.
They're saying 35 degrees, so that could, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's chilly, but it's supposed to be clear. I don't think there's any rain or snow.
But that's at 5 o'clock tomorrow. And also at 5 tomorrow, Army hosts Tulane for the coveted American Athletic Championship.
Yes.
And this is the game we were talking about in the Hot 5. But this guy for Tulane, he is a hot shot, hot name coach out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he could be one foot out the door.
Yeah.
Because he's interviewed at North Carolina, reportedly. And who knows what other job. I mean, Purdue's open.
And there's a belief that he may bring his quarterback with him, who's a freshman that's having a nice year. So, you know, just keep an eye on that because, you know, Tulane's a good team, but Army is 10-1. And, you know, Army is a unique style, obviously. And I just think it'd be really cool to see Army get a crack at this and end up winning it. And
even, well, they are going to get a crack at it.
Yeah. I mean, they're 10-1. I mean, no, they're not in any sort of consideration to jump anybody, but you know, before Tulane lost at the end of last week, there was an idea that maybe if UNLV won, maybe Tulane would be able to sneak in there, but this is just basically for the right to claim your conference championship.
Yeah. And it, you know, I guess it should be good. I don't know. The weather's going to be cold there too. They're playing at West Point.
Yeah. They're up in Mitchie Stadium there.
And it gets a little breezy.
I just love the idea of, I love the service academies, and
that would be cool for them to win it.
It would be awesome. Cause remember a number of years ago, and it's kind of flipped, but, the guy that they went out and hired, is it Jeff Monken, I think is his name.
Yeah.
There was a really cool 60 Minutes piece on him where for a long time, Army football was a joke and Navy under Ken Niumatalolo. Yeah. Was bitch slapping Army. And the military got together and said, this is unacceptable. Like, we are going to turn this around. And they brought this guy in and he has done an amazing job there at Army. And now with a chance to your only loss on the year to beat a Notre Dame and win a conference championship. Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm inclined to think this is kind of a mismatch talent-wise. But again, with Summerall maybe on his way out or distracted, who knows? I'm with you. I'm rooting for Army to try to pull that off.
And watch it. Bryson Daly is the quarterback in Army, and the dude's a linebacker. He's like 6 feet, 230.
Does he ever throw?
Well, not really.
Ever.
Not really.
How many times a game?
More than past Army quarterbacks, but still not much.
Yeah. They run. See, Navy does at least some kind of variations. Army runs triple. I mean, it's the wishbone. They run triple option.
Oh, yeah.
And they got like 250, 260-pound fullbacks. Navy tries to kind of fancy it up a little bit. Army goes old school, and I love it.
Okay, so those two games are tomorrow. Saturday morning, 9 a.m., Iowa State, Arizona State. Very interesting game. They're playing this in Texas. Again, all these games are small spreads.
Yeah.
All four of the big Power Four championship games on Saturday.
And unlike the other ones, I mean, these two that we talked about with Boise and now this one, this is win and in, lose and go home.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this is for a spot. Arizona State is a slight favorite, but they lost their big stud wide receiver. So I think a lot of people are looking at this going, well, if Iowa State can slow down Scataboo, then they've got a real shot here. I got to tell you, I've watched Iowa State enough to not really appreciate them.
Yeah.
I will say their quarterback looks like he can turn it over at any second.
That's
and Arizona State
kid or whatever.
Yeah, and Arizona State, Levitt's looking great. Iowa State, here's the stat for this game. This is why I bet on Arizona State. One, I trust Kenny Dillingham. I think he's just legit. Yeah.
He's got a dog mentality.
Two, I think they have the better quarterback. And three, Scataboo, the Arizona State running back.
He has a burger that's great.
He has an NIL burger, and Iowa State has given up 5.6 yards per carry.
Mm.
So I feel like Arizona State can control this game, but Iowa State's really well coached, so that could be a barn burner. That's at 9 o'clock.
By the way, Westland's own Sam Levitt.
He's doing great.
Pulling the strings down there.
Doing great.
Yeah.
Georgia, Texas, SEC. It's a rematch from earlier this year where Georgia won 30-15. That's at 1 o'clock on ABC. I mean, what can you say? Excellent matchup.
This is an excellent matchup. And I think for a lot of people, like, Texas checks all the boxes, but it's hard to eliminate just how bad they played it in the first half. In the second half, it was, I think they may have actually outscored Georgia.
No, they won the second half. Yeah.
So that first half where it just spiraled out of control. Remember, that was the one where they sat down Quinn Ewers and they tried to get a spark with Arch Manning and it didn't really happen there. So I think I think Texas has a chance to come at it because they're in either way, right? Texas and Georgia are both going, that much we know. But I think Texas, even though Oregon's the undefeated team and I think Oregon's the most complete team, I think Texas here has a chance, at least from a national narrative perspective, and certainly with Vegas, to kind of grab this thing by the throat and be like, we're the best team.
Yeah, they certainly do.
Yeah.
And I think this game, this is a great, I mean, come on, man.
It's everything you could want.
Yes.
In a neutral site game
because
Atlanta.
Yeah, it's in Atlanta. And that helps Georgia. But I just feel like it comes down to the quarterbacks. Yeah. And neither have been that great. I know Beck has been a lot better in the last 4 or 5 games. But in the first game, he threw 3 picks, and Georgia still won by double digits.
Yep.
I just don't think Texas is going to get overwhelmed by Georgia like they did in the first half of the first game. So I imagine this comes down to whether Quinn Ewers, who got freaking lit up by Georgia in that game, if Quinn Ewers can be the Quinn Ewers that we thought he would be, or we think he is, Texas is going to win this game because, let's be honest, Texas's defense is just better than Georgia's offense.
Yeah.
It just is.
It is.
Because Brock Bowers isn't out there.
Yeah.
And who's the other guy that they lost? Weapon, Georgia, gone. Michi. Is that his name?
Mechie.
He's gone. Carson Beck looks worse because he just doesn't have a lot of studs to throw to.
Yeah.
At least like the guys before. And Texas is going to, I just feel like Texas's defense is going to be a problem for Georgia. But then on the other side, Quinn Ewers has got to be good. So I really do feel like it comes down to the quarterbacks.
Well, and remember their Texas's best offensive lineman, the first round pick, Kelvin Banks, got hurt against Texas A&M, and his status is up in the air. So that's a big one too, because Ewers can get rattled. And you're right. Yeah. This may just come down to simply what quarterback doesn't screw up.
Yeah, because Ewers, they boat raced A&M.
Yeah.
But Ewers kept him in the game.
Yes.
And the interception wasn't really his fault. It was a tip ball. But he has terrible pocket presence. Yep. And then on the fumble, somebody came from behind and stripped him of the ball. He's just got to take care of the ball.
Yeah.
It's
just weird that we're talking about Texas and Georgia, who came into the year with the two guys that a lot of people thought were going to be top three picks in the NFL draft. And both schools are kind of like, just don't screw it up.
Well, they weren't that great this year.
No, they were
neither
not.
Of them.
No.
And you wonder, too, if Ewers is not playing well, you wonder if they do go to Arch in this, because Arch has a little bit more of the running component, and that has hurt Georgia.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Ewers makes mistakes early and throws a pick, I think they'll go to Sark.
That was a surprise earlier in the year when they went away from Ewers. People like it's done them, but the fact he's done it once before makes you think he'll do it again.
Don't you think that if this game right here, this is, I don't think this is a stretch to say that this game right here could determine whether Quinn Ewers is in the transfer portal or not.
100%.
Right here.
Yes.
Because if he does not play well, and again, they're still in the tournament even if they don't win.
Yeah.
So Sark may just stick with Ewers, but if he doesn't play well, and they put Arch in for a spark,
he's gone.
Ewers is probably gone. And he's probably quarterbacking Oregon next year.
Because I don't think he's going to go to the NFL. I don't think he's done anything to help his stock. And I think he can probably make more money in college right now. His draft stock is plummeting. So, yeah, this is a big one. And by the way, we've seen, Nick Saban did it in the championship game when he sat Jalen Hurts, who was a hell of a lot more accomplished than Quinn Ewers. I'm not going to say Quinn Ewers is all hype, but the legend of Quinn Ewers is a lot better than what Quinn Ewers is putting on the field. But, he took him to the playoff last year, but couldn't get over the hump against Washington. And this year, it just kind of feels like, you're waiting for maybe the other shoe to drop. And I just think it's fascinating that Georgia and Texas are playing, and both of the quarterbacks are the question mark. And you also wonder, too, like with Sark, if you can kind of rely on Arch to pick up some first downs with his legs, do you kind of try to pull what Ohio State did with Will Howard and just play around the quarterback and say, hey, man, Arch, we're going to keep it real simple. Use your legs, pick up some key third downs, and we're just going to rely on our defense to choke out Georgia.
Yeah. Well, that's a great matchup. 1 o'clock ABC. When we come back, we'll talk Oregon, Penn State, and the ACC game as well on the Fan. Slight correction. We were talking about George's weapons.
Couldn't think of who the receiver was that they lost, and I couldn't think of his name.
Well, Buck said Michi. That's the old Alabama guy.
Well, you said Michi, and I was just getting the pronunciation right.
Oh.
He was the guy that was...
Ladd McConkey is who we were thinking of.
There you go.
And he's now with the Chargers.
Michi ended up getting cancer.
That's right.
And
Texans, right?
Yeah, with the Texans, but he's back.
So two more championship games, the later games. So you'll get Iowa State, Arizona State, Saturday at 9. 1 o'clock is Georgia, Texas. And then you get two of them at 5. And, of course, your Ducks being one of those. Mm-hmm. They play Penn State, of course, in Indianapolis.
Which we've talked about time and time again.
We've spent time on the game. We talked to Dan Lanning earlier. Look, I don't think Penn State has enough weapons to beat Oregon. I do think they have what it takes to drag Oregon into deep water, much like Wisconsin.
I thought you said it best when you said Penn State and Wisconsin, there's one path to victory.
Yeah, they can only win the game one way.
Yes.
But I do fear that they will make the game that way.
Sure.
And it will be a tough game. And Oregon, I think, has enough weapons to pull it out. I've been saying all along, I think the big thing for Oregon has everything at all levels, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no weakness.
No, it's the most complete team.
I think when you get to this stage of the game and moving forward into the playoff, much like we were talking about with Ewers and Carson Beck, it really comes down to your weapons. Like, as long as everything else is relatively equal on the fronts, which I think in this game it is, you look at Aller versus Gabriel, and then you look at the Oregon receivers and running backs against what Penn State's bringing to the table, it's not even close. I don't I don't think Penn State can get enough pressure. Even if they get pressure, you're talking, you know, they blitz. You're talking one-on-one on Ferguson, on Tez, on Stewart. Good luck, Penn State. That's why I just think Oregon's got a little bit more. But I do think this could be an interesting game. Is a reason why the spread's only 3.5, but I feel pretty confident, as I think you do too, that Oregon should win.
Yeah, when I look at Tyler Warren, who's the tight end from Penn State, and then Abdul Carter, they have the two best players in this game.
And Carter could be a game wrecker by himself.
By himself. And something tells me that both of those guys are going to get extra attention. The nice part about with Warren, your linebackers can run. You don't have the biggest linebackers in the world, but they all can run. So I think you're going to see a linebacker and a safety over the top wherever Ty Warren goes. I just think you're going to say someone else has to beat
us. Well, yeah, because none of the other guys really scare you,
and
right?
The second, so Warren has 81 catches, the best tight end in America. There's next best receiver who, by the way, may not play. He's beat up. He's got 35 catches, and then after that, it's their running back. Like, there just isn't enough. They do not have weapons on the outside. And so I think you can, kind of what you were talking about with Oregon, I think Oregon can spend a lot of attention on stopping what Penn State does. With Oregon, you're too balanced. And this is what Ohio State tried to do. Ohio State tried to come out and say, hey, we're going to play man on the outside, and we're going to stop your run. And Oregon cooked them. And got him out of that look real, real fast. And I know Penn State has a good secondary too, but Ohio State secondary was supposed to be one of the best in the country, and they couldn't handle it. I just don't know how many people can handle what Oregon's bringing on the outside, which again goes back to, can you contain Carter on the outside, who will be by far the best defensive player you've seen? But again, I would expect Chips. I would expect Ferguson to stay in and block on some of those, or at least Chip on the way out, maybe slide some protections. And
shut up.
I just think, like you said, Oregon is more of a complete team. And at the end of the day, the next time Drew Aller comes through in a big game will be the first time. And Dylan Gabriel is an old season vet. And I just, at the end of the day, when a quarterback is, to me, is that much of a mismatch, I'm taking the Ducks.
Yeah, I just think this is the time of year where the big stud, you know, your big skill guys are the difference and can be the difference. And that's why I said Texas, Georgia, same thing. Yeah. And here as well, Penn State, the one thing about Penn State, we talked about this earlier, they have nothing to lose.
No.
They did not think they would be in this game.
Throw the kids a sink at them.
And even if they don't win this game, they're still in the tournament. So they may take more risks. They may scheme up some explosives or you know, try some different things that we haven't seen. So that's another thing to keep an eye on. But Oregon should win the game. I think people will be very disappointed if they don't.
And the other thing to keep an eye on, Penn State is one of the best first and second down teams in the Big Ten, right? It's their whole MO. They are one of the worst. I think they're like 15th in the Big Ten in third and long situations, so third and six. Like, they do not convert. If Penn State gets behind chains, if there's penalties, if there's run stops on first and second down, Drew Aller is not going to beat you on third and six, third and seven. So I want to see if Penn State comes out and tries to establish the run, or do they come out and try to do some stuff throwing the ball early to try to avoid third and obvious passing situations? Because that's going to be problematic. And Penn State, one of Penn State's best offensive linemen, their right tackle, he's out. And they got a freshman playing in there who they think may turn into something. But again, you got a young kid out there and expect to see Uy Ungigale and some of the other rushers. That Oregon defensive line is nasty. So this to me is a tough matchup, but we saw Penn State and Oregon go toe to toe and be decided by one play. And Penn State,
you mean,
and
Ohio State?
Oh yeah, Ohio State and Oregon. And we saw Penn State and Ohio State. Same thing.
It was right down to the wire.
It was right down to the wire. Yeah. I mean,
I mean, Penn State is inches from being undefeated,
yes.
And Oregon is inches from being one loss. And then how would we look at this?
Exactly. Or two. So we both sit up here and say that we really like Oregon, but I do think that there are some Duck fans that are just kind of dismissing Penn State.
Yeah.
And
be careful.
Be careful with that.
Yeah, but I trust them. And then last, it's SMU Clemson, which is a strange ACC title game, but it would be wild if SMU can go from, dude, they were Group of Five last year.
Yeah.
They could go from Group of Five to winning a Power Four league in one season.
That they paid their way in. They didn't get a dollar in TV money, and they won't for the rest of this contract. They just said, we want access to this right here.
It's also the thing that most said would never happen, including you, I think. If SMU wins, it is likely that a three-loss team makes this tournament.
Yeah.
Alabama. Now, if SMU loses to Clemson, Clemson takes that spot.
Now it gets sticky.
And now it gets hairy because now the committee's deciding between SMU and Alabama.
Boy, I'll tell you what.
And that could get...
In what world do they not take Alabama?
In a world that is absolute horse bleep. Because
they're going to take him because they want that brand in there.
The idea that you could punish SMU, who would still be a two-loss team versus a three-loss Alabama, and one of those losses coming in the conference title game... As bad as Florida State got jobbed last year, this would be right there with one of the biggest travesties.
That and remember, the committee chair has already set you up for it. He's already told you, if you lose this game, you could move down, but if you're not playing, you won't move at all.
It's just so stupid. The idea that making a conference title game, because here's the thing. If by some weird tiebreaker, SMU wasn't playing in this game... They're number eight. They're the eighth team in the country right now. If somehow in some dumb tiebreaker they weren't playing in this game, SMU would be safe. They would 100% in. Yeah. They'd be Indiana. And yet there's a chance that a three-loss Alabama team that just got their asses whipped by a 500 Oklahoma team is going to get in over them. I just, that won't sit right with me.
Well, I don't know about the game matchup. I know that Clemson has a lot better players than SMU.
Yep.
But SMU has a mean defensive front. And when you, I was looking at Clemson, when they play anything with even remotely a good defensive line.
They get bullied.
Yeah, they are not good.
No.
And neither is Klubnik. So hard to pick this one. I don't know. I don't have a feel. Because I haven't seen enough of SMU. I just know that they're really damn, they're obviously really good. It's just... I don't know. I'm always inclined to take the team with more, the better players.
Better players.
And Clemson has a lot of dudes.
The thing that's like you said it. If SMU has a path to this, and the reason why they'll win is that Clemson's offense folds in the face of a good front, and that's this SMU front is a Power Five front.
Yeah, South Carolina. I mean, they only scored 14 points against them.
Yeah, beat them up.
All right. Well, we didn't get to 10 things to watch out for in the upcoming Oregon boys wrestling season. Damn it.
And you're gone tomorrow, so...
It's over!
Maybe Monday. Maybe Monday.
Yeah, that's the good thing is we have time.
Yeah. I mean, look, I know we're going to be recapping Conference Championship weekend, but I feel like we need to carve out at least an hour.
At least. Maybe a special show?
I would think so. Special broadcast.
All right, well, let's get to the real topic, and that is an assassination.
Dude,
broad daylight.
I am... just fascinated. This is like Titanic sub for me.
It's going to make a great true crime podcast someday.
Oh, yeah.
That's next. Club 1080 on The Fan.